The question today is, what is God like? This is number 13 in this series, the 13th part of this. We've looked at many names of of God's names and saw that they represent the character and the person of God, and they really fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ. But one of the ones we're dealing with right now is Jehovah Ra, compound name of our Lord. And it says, "The Lord is my shepherd," in Psalm 23:1. And as a result of that, he's saying, he's my shepherd. It also said in Isaiah 40 that he shall feed his flock like a shepherd. And that is, he shall, the two words, Hebrew word for Ra is translated feed and shepherd. So Jehovah Ra is our shepherd that will, well, we said that if we look at how he does the sheep and how he deals with the sheep, it'll tell us what kind of a God we have. It demonstrates a caring God, a loving God, because he gathers his sheep. He knows right where they're at. He goes to find them. And his sheep, by the way, are not only those that's in the fold, but some outside the fold. And those that's not yet saved, but in foreknowledge, God knows you, and he's gathering you. He's doing all that's necessary, just like the woman at the well when he said, "I must needs go through Samaria." And so he gathers. And by the way, he's on a direct path, like he was to Philip, to gather him and get him in the fold. He also gives, and that means he satisfies, as far as the Word says. And as we talked about how he had a table, he sets a table in the presence of our enemy, anoints our head with oil, and our cup runneth over in Psalm 23. But he said that he will gather us in with his arms, carry us in his bosom, and feed us like a flock, a caring God. We started yesterday dealing with the third thing that Jehovah Ra does. He guides. He guides. Isaiah 40, verse number 11, said he will gently lead those that are with young. As I said, it's like Jacob said to Esau, I've got to lead on softly, as the women and the cattle can take it, because they're with young. If I overdrive the flock one day, they all shall die. Now, I want to tell you what, the Lord knows what he's doing. When he's leading you along the narrow way that leads to the straight gate, he knows what you can take. And you see, he knows that we don't need to be overdriven. Now, some churches today, in their easy believism tactics, have overdriven the flock, and they've short-circuited the work of the Holy Spirit, and what they're producing is twofold more children of hell, and that's not right. Jehovah Ra doesn't do that. He doesn't do that. You see, he's the one who gathers his sheep, and he's the one who gives to his sheep, but he guides his sheep. He guides his sheep. He knows what each sheep needs, and he guides them, even with his eye, so as not to embarrass. Psalm chapter 32, verse 8, Psalmist said, "I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye." Now, he does that for two reasons. I'm talking about guiding with his eye. You see, he does that so you'll not be embarrassed, and he'll not be embarrassed. In other words, it's like my dad many times would give me the eye. When I was growing up, he didn't want to be embarrassed in front of other people, so he'd give me the eye, and he expected me to straighten up, or if it didn't, I'd have the result when we got home. And I'll tell you, the Lord, Jehovah Ra, will guide with his eye. Psalm chapter 80, verse 1, he said, "Give ear, O shepherd of Israel, thou that leadest Joseph like a flock, thou that dwellest between the cherubim, shine forth." In other words, he's the Lord that led Joseph and the children of Israel over those 40 years in that wandering in the desert. That's the same shepherd that's guiding us today. And you know something? He led those people, even though that was out of the will of God, those other 38 years. And you analyze something, that's a good Lord. That's a good God, if you please. That's the Jehovah Ra who guides us in the right way. Now, the Bible also says in Psalms 23, verse number 2, "He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters." He also said, "He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake." We're talking about guiding now. You see, even the sheep that's not yet in the fold, God leads you in paths of righteousness. The Bible said in Psalm 25, verse number 8, "Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore will he teach sinners in the way." Folks, every time God mentions a sinner in his Bible, that's one's not yet saved. Hey, they're theologically, they're lost. And he never calls you a sinner after you're saved. He calls you a saint. So he'll teach the sinners in the way. That's the narrow way that leads to the straight gate. And Matthew 7 says, "Few there be that find the narrow way that leads to the straight gate." You're never going to get saved on the broad way. You're never going to get saved living in your sin, or at least lacking your sin and loving it and going away from God. You must turn toward God. Now, you can't always overcome all your sin by yourself. But I'll tell you what, when you come to the place you submit to the Lord Jesus Christ, he awakens you. He'll guide you down that narrow way. He'll teach you, because he is Jehovah Ra. He's your shepherd, and he'll lead you in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He'll lead you in the tender grass, pastures of tender grass, where he said, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Now, that word maketh is not the idea of force, as some would try to talk about, but you see, it causes you to lie down whenever he's let you go out there like an old cow grazing out in a lush green field. She'll graze out there in the cool of the day, and she'll get her pouch full of the grass that she's chewed up, and she'll lay down in the shade and with green grass all around her and chew her cud and eat a little as she lays there. But still, that's what maketh you to lie down, because of the fact that you're satisfied. You'll be satisfied with Jehovah Ra. And you'll get full, and when you get full, you'll lay down on pastures of tender grass. And that's the sense of it. Lie down because you're satisfied. Not in the mud, not in the muck of the world, but in pastures of tender grass. He also said in verse number 2 of Psalm 23, he leadeth me in the path beside the still waters. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Now, this word for still waters means in the Hebrew the waters of quietness. And in other words, they're talking about peace. It's not a pond that's overcovered with scum. That's not what he's talking about. But he's talking about a gentle stream that's flowing. It's a picture of quietness and peace that's rippling over the rocks, that's purified every few feet. In other words, you can drink of that, even if something is contaminated upstream. And that's it. That's what he's talking about. He leads you beside the peaceful waters. And in other words, he'll give you peace with God. He'll bring you to the place that you're made one with God again. Romans 5:1 said, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. But he'll not only just, and by the way, that peace is talking about tranquility of soul. And in other words, but not only can you have peace with God, you can have the peace of God. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7 says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and mind through Christ Jesus. See, that's talking about the peace of God. In other words, he guides you into green pastures and beside the still waters to let you have peace in this old world. In other words, someone wrote in their Bible beside of Philippians 4, 6, and 7 that means to worry about nothing, pray about everything, and thank God for anything. And then the peace of God will pass us all understanding. The world don't understand how you can take the turmoils that you're in, the circumstances you're facing in this old world, but he'll bring you through victoriously because you can have the peace of God because he guides you into green pasture. He leads you beside the still water. He also guides you in right paths or paths of righteousness it talked about in verse 3 of Psalm 23. You see, if you've got things contrary to this book, that's not of God. God didn't lead you in those paths. The paths of righteousness means having a right relationship with God and with fellow man, loving vertically the Lord and loving horizontally. In other words, man. Means to have right attitudes, right actions, and right reactions. And by the way, he's still working on us. We're not yet conformed to his image yet. But see, if we are wrong in these areas, the Lord suffers most. I'm talking about Jehovah Ra. He guides. He leads. And he'll not overdrive. Now, you've got to drive a hog, but a sheep will follow. You see, he'll not put more on you than what you can stand because he's guiding you. Most say that a lot of what we suffer is our reaping what we have sowed. And that's true. And of course, most people say this is not true. God does put things on, but most of what we're suffering is what we've sowed, if you please. And 1 Corinthians 10:13, he made this statement. He said, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you or allow you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. In other words, he will not put more on you than what you can stand because he is a caring God. He said, Jehovah Ra, the Lord is my shepherd. You see, if we step out by ourselves, then we've got a problem, but he'll take care of us if we're in God's will. So as Jehovah Ra, he gathers, he gives, he guides, but he also guards. Verse number 3, he says this in Psalm 23, he restoreth my soul. He restoreth my soul. The word restore means to bring back to a former state or a normal state by repairing or rebuilding. Now you realize in Adam, In Adam, we all are sinful. Adam sinned through the entire human race into sin, and we were broken in Adam. In other words, we need to be brought back to the original state, if you please. Therefore, man must be born again. And he said, if we're in Christ, that means to be born again. We're a new creature in Christ, 2 Corinthians 5:17. And that means we've been placed back into the image of God again. You see, man was made in the image of God, but men are all born since Adam in the image of Adam. And we need a work of God done in our hearts to conform us back or restore us back to the original condition. So he guards us while he's doing that and bringing us back into that place. That's Jehovah Ra. He does that. If a sheep hurt, the sheep nurses the wound. He fixes the broken leg. He guards to keep the enemy away. He'll give his life for the sheep. If the sheep is sick, he'll give medicine. In other words, he restores. And that's a continuous action verb, by the way. He's continually doing that. And he's talking about the soul. He restoreth my soul. That's conforming us to his image. And that's on the outside as well as the inside. Romans 8:29. What did he say? He said, for whom he did foreknow, he did also predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Now, some people get upset about the word predestinate, but that's a good word. Has nothing to do with a lost man and predestinating you to hell. That's not scriptural. Anybody tells you that, they're not being led in paths of righteousness. It's the wrong Lord leading them. It's not Jehovah Ra. It's not Jehovah Ra, because he'll lead you in paths of rightness, down right paths. And you see, predestinated means that when you're saved, he predetermined that you're going to be made like his son. And he's going to do that, you see. That's why he said in Romans 8:28, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. And so he works all things for ultimate good. In other words, and now the devil would kill us before we are ever saved if we reach the knowledge of accountability if we wasn't guarded. But thank God he's guarding us. He's protecting us so we'll be like him. 1 John chapter 3, verse 2, beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. In other words, he realized he guards us, and I thank God that he guards us. So is Elohim. He's the strong one who's able to redeem fallen man. As the Lord Jehovah, he's the one who wants to reveal himself to man, and you must have him revealed to you before you'll ever be saved. As El Shaddai, he's the Almighty, the multi-breasted one who pours himself into the lives of a believer, and you're a believer even before you're saved, as God's awakened you and you begin to seek the Lord. But all these other names really point to some of those, but all what we need to see is Jehovah Ra. He's gathering you. He gives you. He guards you. And he guides you, and he's guarding you today. He's taking care of you today completely so that you might be all that the Lord would have you to be. This is Edgar Lee Pascal, host of Ask the Pastor, saying good day to you. Until we meet again on the air or in the air, may the good Lord bless you, is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.